John 15, verse 10 verses. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vines, no more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to his word for his name's sake. The thrust of Christ's preaching was both practical and profound. Christ taught people in such a way that they could relate to what he was saying. I am the vine and ye are the branches. Illustrates just how powerfully Christ used common and everyday natural things, things that we can observe in nature to make his point regarding faith in him. We know from our own observations that branches are completely dependent on the vine for life. We just have to go outside and snap a branch off a tree, and what happens? It soon dies. Without the connection to the vine, a broken branch will eventually wither away and die. The same thing is true regarding our relationship with Jesus Christ. The connection between the vine and the branches illustrates the vital union that exists between Christ and his disciples. A.W. Pink writes, "The union of Christ to his people is an amazing subject. It is an eternal union. It is a union made and enjoyed in time. It is a union which will be openly and manifestly declared in all its glory and perfection in the latter day. It is a grace union. It is also a glory union. Because of our union with Christ, we have not only a valid title or right to draw nigh unto God, but a personal fitness. Our very life is hid with Christ in God, so that before we can perish, he must perish. What is yet more blessed, the Father loves us as he loves Jesus Christ." And the illustration of the vine and branches is a simple and practical example of the nature of faith. If we are not connected to Jesus Christ, then we will die. In addition to being practical in his teaching, Christ was also profound in what he said. The content of Christ's teaching left people declare, "No man ever spake like this man." An example of Christ's sublime and profound teaching is found in the statement in John 15, verse 4, "Abide in me." Think about that. Think about the words of Christ to his disciples or to those who were there listening to him. Abide in me. The Lord Jesus uses the word abide 7 times in John 15, verses 1 through 10. Christ emphasizes the importance of following, trusting, and abiding in him. Now, what does it mean to abide in someone or something? Well, we've already considered the illustration of the vine and branches. If the branches do not abide in the vine, they die. There's no life. There's no existence without that connection to the vine. And so too, if a sinner, if a person who is not connected to the Lord Jesus Christ, he will eventually or she will eventually die and wither away as well. But I thought of another illustration that helps us to see what this abiding in Christ really means. I thought of a baby in the womb of a mother. The baby abides in the mother in a special way. There's a special relationship there. That baby doesn't abide in me. The baby doesn't abide in my children. It abides in a mother, in our case, my wife. And I thought about that special relationship that the baby has to its mother. That baby depends on everything from its mother. Its food, its warmth, its protection, everything comes from the mother. And so it is true with our relationship to Jesus Christ. We must abide in Him. We must have that special relationship, that dependence that the baby has to its mother. Abide in Christ means remaining united to Him by a living faith. We are to live a life of dependence on the vine, Jesus Christ, by constantly exercising faith in Him and by obeying His commandments. Abide in Christ means staying as close to Him as you can. What a profound truth when Christ says, "Abide in me." What is He saying to the people there? He's saying, stay as close to me as possible. That word abide is as close to a person as you can get. And Jesus Christ is exhorting those who are listening to Him to abide in Him. To come close to Him and to stay with Him. How many times in the Scripture do we read in the Gospel narratives where Christ was preaching or teaching and people left and went away from the Lord? They left and made excuses not to follow the Lord, not to abide in the Lord. Think of the impact of these words of the Lord Jesus Christ, how they had on the minds of people. Think of people in that crowd that were rich, that had possessions and wealth. When Jesus Christ said, "Abide in me," He was saying, "Abide in me and not in your riches." That must have struck a chord in the heart of a rich person. Isn't that the message of Christ to the rich young ruler? In Mark chapter 10, we read of a rich man who heard the Lord Jesus Christ speak and teach. And it was all a conversation about him, probably pretty much all that he did in terms of keeping the law and all that he did in terms of fulfilling the law. It was all about him and his doing. And Jesus Christ said, "Those things are good in and of themselves, but there's one thing that thou lackest. There's one thing that you need to do. You need to sell all your possessions and come follow me." What was he saying to that rich young ruler? He was saying, "Abide in me. Stay close to me." And what was the response of the rich young ruler? He abode in his riches. He would not abide in Christ. How many people today abide in riches? They abide in their things. In what money can buy. And yet Christ says, "Abide in me." Christ's words would have left an indelible impression on very religious Jews who heard Him speak, "Abide in me." You can almost hear the cry of protest from practicing Jews. "We can't abide in Jesus. We must abide in Moses and the prophets." But Moses and the prophets wrote concerning Christ. We're reading Luke 24, verse 44. "All things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." How many people today abide in religion and not in Jesus Christ for salvation? And there were people there, I'm sure, that were listening to the words of Jesus Christ and they were abiding in their religion. They were abiding in their works, abiding in their trying to earn their way to salvation. And Jesus says to them, "Abide in me. Don't abide in your religion. Don't abide in your way of trying to be right with God. Come to me. Stay close to me." Abide in Christ applies to those going through trials and tribulations. Abide in me and not in grief and sorrow. There were those, I'm sure, that listened to the words of Christ and they had trials in their life. And they had sorrows in their life. We read in Matthew chapter 8, verse 22, Jesus said unto him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their dead." Whenever I thought of that saying of Christ and the response that he had to that man in his grief, I said, boy, what a seemingly cruel thing to say to a man in grief and sorrow. But what was he teaching? Again, it has to do with abiding in Christ. Albert Barnes writes about this Matthew 8, verse 22 passage. The Savior had a thorough knowledge of human nature, the arrangements for the funeral, the preparation of mounting apparel, and the depth of sorrow in such cases divert the mind from its sins and its personal need of a Savior. And hence, few persons are awakened or converted as a result of death in a family. The case here was a strong one. It was as strong as you can well be conceived. And the Savior meant to teach by this that nothing is to be allowed to divert the mind from Him. Nothing to be an excuse for not following Him. Not even the death of a father and the sorrows of an afflicted family are to be suffered to lead a man to put off the purpose to be a Christian. Now, there is a time of grief and sorrow and mourning, of course, for those who pass away. And the Saunders family, they're going through that very thing right now in Toronto because of the death of Howard Saunders. But to be drowned in sorrow and despair and grief, and to make that the way of life, Jesus Christ says, don't abide in the sorrow, don't abide in the grief, but abide in Me. Follow Me, stay close to Me. And how many people today, they allow their sorrows and their trials and their tribulations to drown out coming to Christ, and they never can get to Christ because they're always sorrowful. They're always thinking, woe is me. And Jesus is saying, abide in Me. Stay close to Me. It's easier said than done. But yet, Jesus says to those in sorrow, those who are in trials, abide in Me. It doesn't matter who we are, where we are, or what we're doing or going through. We must abide in Jesus Christ for life and salvation. And the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us in John 15 that we must stay close to Him. Therefore, the title of my message is Staying Close to Christ. Let us consider three things today from this passage. Staying close to Christ. First, purpose staying close to Christ. We must purpose in our hearts to stay close to the Lord Jesus. Abide in Me is our words that should cause a response in our hearts to say yes. I will respond. I will abide in the Lord. I will purpose to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we purpose to do things every day. We purpose to wake up. We purpose to work. We purpose to eat. We purpose to do all kinds of different things. And in all of purposing and planning in a day, do we purpose staying close to Christ? How much time during the day do we really spend thinking about Christ on purpose? I purpose to follow the Lord today. I purpose to work, to walk with my Savior. I purpose not my will, but Thy will be done. I purpose to do all kinds of things according to my schedule and according to my plans. But do I ever really consider following Christ on purpose? Abiding in Christ on purpose? That's what Christ is saying to the people to do. Purpose, stay close to Me. Now we read in the Gospel of Luke of a woman who purposed to stay close to the Lord. Please turn with me to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. And we read the words, Now it came to pass as they went that He entered, Christ entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received Him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to Him and said, Lord, dost Thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Notice those words in verse 42. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Mary purposed in her heart to follow and fellowship with Jesus Christ. She realized that there's a time to hear and there's a time to do. Martha was busy doing and doing and doing, and this produced a sour fussing in her, a complaining spirit. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, Mary hath chosen her purpose, that good part which shall not be taken away from her. It's interesting that when Christ uses those words, the good part or the good portion, Christ was saying the best dish on the table was fellowship with me. And Mary desired that. It wasn't the food. It wasn't the pretty table. It wasn't the utensils. It wasn't the atmosphere. It was Christ. And Mary purposed that in her heart to have. And this is the spiritual application of the metaphor of the dishes on the table. Now, salvation is not the good portion, for Martha had that also. What was that good portion? It was communion with the Lord. And Mary purposed to fellowship with Christ. Do you purpose to fellowship with Christ? Do you purpose to just sit at the feet of Jesus and spend time alone with your Savior and listen to Him? And Christ reproves Martha for that fussy fretfulness, which attempts many unneeded things and ends in worry and fault-finding and negative things to say. But Christ commends Mary for staying close to Him. What a beautiful picture here of fellowship with the Lord Jesus. Here is a woman hearing and listening and sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. Oh, would I have liked to have been there? But we can be there in our experience through the Spirit as we spend time alone with the Savior. We need to be there. We need to purpose to be there. We need to say that, yes, I will make time to spend with my Savior. Moses was also a person who purposed staying close to Christ. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. We read in verses 25 and 27. This speaking of Moses choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Notice the words choosing rather to suffer with the people of God. Now, Moses could have been the Pharaoh of Egypt and the most powerful ruler of his day. And Moses saw that if he cast in his lot with Israel, he must expect trials. They were poor and crushed and despised, a nation of slaves. If he identified himself with them, his condition would be like theirs, one of great trial. If he sought to elevate and deliver them, such an undertaking could not be but one of great peril and hardship. Trial and danger, want and care would follow Moses. And he knew that an effort to rescue Israel from bondage must be attended with the sacrifice of all the comforts and honors which he enjoyed in Egypt. Yet he chose this. He purposed this in his heart to follow the Lord and to help the people of God. Now you would look at this and say, this man's crazy. He's throwing away everything. He's throwing away his future. He's throwing away riches. He's throwing away power. What would drive a man to do such a thing? Faith in the Lord. Trust in Christ. See, we must purpose to stay close to Christ in our lives because we are prone to wander like sheep. We are like sheep that go astray. And Jesus is the Good Shepherd. And we must stay close to Him, the Good Shepherd, unless we become vulnerable to the attacks of predators like wolves and lions. Imagine if you're not close to Christ, if you're not good to the shepherd, a wolf might get you. And he might attack you suddenly without any warning. But if the good shepherd's there, and you're close to the good shepherd, he'll protect you. He'll drive away the wolf. He'll drive away the lion. But if we're not staying close to Christ, we're in trouble. We're in danger. And Jesus Christ says, abide in me. Stay close to me. We must purpose staying close to Christ. We must desire, even when it doesn't make sense, even when it may cost us everything, to abide in the Lord. Mary showed us this. Moses showed us this. Oh, that the Lord Jesus Christ might help us in our day-to-day walk with Him to purpose to stay close to Him. Secondly, enjoy staying close to Christ. We must purpose staying close to Christ. But secondly, we must enjoy staying close to Christ. We read in John chapter 15, verse 4, abide in me and I in you. The union between Christ and His disciples is mutual. They abide in Him by faith, love, and obedience. He abides in them through the Holy Spirit as the source of their spiritual life, light, and strength. Think about that. Think about the Spirit of God is working in your heart as you stay close to Him. You have the help of God's Spirit. You have the power of God guiding you and governing you and protecting you. That's what Jesus is saying. If you abide in me, I will abide in you. I will help you. I will be with you. What a joy and comfort to know the truth of Philippians 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. You may say, I purpose to stay close to the Lord, but I fall, I fail, I drift away, and I find my heart deceiving me and pushing me away. Well, what does the Spirit do when we have those feelings of going away from the Lord? The Lord says, I'm with you. I'll bring you back. I'll bring you back. Even when we don't purpose to stay with the Lord comes and gets us and brings us back to Him. Even when we, like sheep, go astray and we're stupid and we're vulnerable and we start going the wrong way, our good shepherd in His grace and mercy and long-suffering comes after and grabs us and says, get back here. Stay with me. Isn't that a joy to know that we have a shepherd like that who will come and help us and protect us and guide us even when we fail in our purpose to stay with Him? Christ teaches in John 15, verse 4, that if we remain attached to Him, He will remain with us and will teach, guide, and comfort us. But you know what? Even the more profound and sublime teaching of this is, even when we do go astray, even when we fail in our purpose of staying with Him, Christ still comes after us. Thank God for that. Because you know, in the area of purposing to stay with Christ, we all fail in that. We all fail. We all have the intention. We all have the desire. And then we fall flat on our face. What happens then? Christ comes and picks us up and says, abide in me. Abide in me. He keeps telling us, abide in me. Even when we fail, abide in me. What did He say to Peter after Peter denied Him three times? Peter, do you lovest thou me? What was He saying? Abide in me. Stay close to me, Peter. But Peter didn't stay close to Him. Peter purposed in his heart, Lord, I will never leave you. I will die for you. That was his purpose. And yet he failed miserably. Was that it for Peter? That Jesus said, get out. I'm going to kick you out now because you purposed and you didn't fulfill what you said you would do. What was the message that Jesus had to Peter? Abide in me. Yes, I know your failure. I know your faults. I know what happened. Abide in me. And He does that to us. What a thrill, what a joy to know we have a Savior who even when we fail, even when we fall, He's there to pick us up. And the message is still the same. Abide in me. Stay close to me. Now the problem is if our hearts become so cold and so hardened that we continue to go away from the Lord when Christ is coming to us constantly and saying, abide in me, abide in me. And we just continue to stiff arm the Lord and say, no, I will not. No, I will not. No, I will. The Lord has His way of saying, oh, yes, you will. Oh, yes, you will. You will abide in me. While we are united to Him by a living faith, strength flows from Him to us, and we receive help as we need it. And we abide in Christ, and therefore Christ will never, never leave us nor forsake us. No, never, never, never. Believers in Christ enjoy staying close to the Lord because we are His and He is ours. We enjoy staying close to Christ on the Lord's Day. We enjoy staying close to Christ in prayer. We enjoy staying close to Christ because we love Him. He is mine. He's my beloved. He's my all. And staying close to Christ makes me holy. Staying close to Christ makes me strong. We don't live by a list of do's and don'ts in the Christian life. What makes a man holy? What makes a man strong? Staying close to Christ. And if you can't enjoy staying close to Christ now, then how do you expect to enjoy staying close to Christ in heaven forever and ever? If you have this desire in your heart, I just can't wait to get out of church, or I can't wait to do the things of the world, that's not staying close to Christ. And it's not going to change if you were to die and heaven is there for you to see. What are you going to do in heaven for all eternity? You're going to stay close to Christ. And if you don't like staying close to Christ now, you can't expect to stay close to Christ in heaven. And if you are here today and you're not abiding in Christ, not staying close to Him, then there's a sober warning to you in John 15, verse 6. Christ says that if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. And this verse refers to a person who is not truly united to Christ by faith and does not live with a continual sense of his dependence on Him. It's a person who doesn't stay close to Christ. Now, this doubtless refers to those who are professors of religion, but who have never known anything of true and real connection with Him. They are cast forth into the fire, Jesus says. It means they who do not abide in Christ will go unwillingly into eternal fire. They're going to be cast. The imagery is they don't want to go into this fire. They're doing everything in their power to not be thrown into the fire. But yet they're going to be cast into the fire. What a terrible day for those who do not abide in Jesus Christ. They're not going to want to go to the place of fire. They're not going to want to go to hell. But they're going to be cast into hell by force. Because they're going to be shut out of heaven. And the Lord is going to forcibly throw them into the lake of fire. That's what Christ is talking about. We learn from this passage that hell is a place of punishment and not rehabilitation. Those who do not abide in Christ will be punished for their sins in the lake of fire. Hell is not a place where people will be made better than released. There's no parole in hell. There's no early release for good behavior in hell. Hell is a place of punishment and torment. And Ezekiel chapter 15 describes the burning of the branch. And from this passage in Ezekiel 15 verses 1 and 5, we walk away with the idea that this is a burning of punishment, not of rehabilitation. Listen to the words of Ezekiel chapter 15 verses 1 and 5. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is the vine tree more than any tree, or than a branch which is among the trees of the forest? Shall wood be taken thereof to do any work, or will men take a pin of it to hang any vessel thereon? Behold, it is cast into the fire for fuel. The fire devoureth both the ends of it, and the midst of it is burned. Is it meet for any work? Behold, when it was whole, it was meet for no work. How much less shall it be meet yet for any work when the fire hath devoured it and is burned? What the Lord Jesus, what Ezekiel is saying here is that when the person was alive here on earth and they didn't abide in Christ, they were good for nothing. And therefore, what would be the consequence of such a condition before God in the afterlife? The Lord will cast that soul into the lake of fire, and it will be used as fuel. It will be used as that which would make the fire hotter, a place of punishment and torment. That's something that we can't comprehend. A place that is designed for eternal punishment. Now, on the earth, there's times when we are suffering, and there are times when we are punished, but we see the light at the end of the tunnel a lot of times. We know that, yes, this will pass, and it will get better. Well, in hell, it doesn't get better. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. And hell is real. Hell is not some fable. Hell is not some made-up story by preachers who just like to preach on doom and disaster and hellfire. No, hell is real. And there are people in hell right now as I speak. We read of a sobering passage in Jude, verse 7. Listen to these sobering words. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. It's present tense. These people that perished in Sodom and Gomorrah are now suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. As I speak, those who perished in Sodom and Gomorrah are suffering in the place of hell. And how many more are added to that awful place even today? It's a serious thing to not abide in Jesus Christ. You need to think about it. You need to come to Christ, or else you face this burning for all eternity in a place called the lake of fire. And when I thought about that passage in Jude, it really struck home to me that as I live and as I breathe and as I think, there are people right now in the place of hell. There are people right now, as I speak, suffering in hell for their sins. And yet I enjoy staying close to Christ this day because Christ saves me from hell. And He has gone to prepare a place for me in heaven. And that's why I enjoy staying close to Christ, because He has delivered me from this place of torment. He has delivered me from this lake of fire. Praise God today that if we abide in Christ, we will never suffer the pains of hell. We will never experience the lake of fire. Isn't that something to rejoice in? Isn't that something to thank the Lord for? But it's also something that brings us down to reality, that there are how many people really can say that I abide in Christ and therefore I am saved from the lake of fire. There's so many people today that are not abiding in Christ. And oh, isn't it our soul's desire? Isn't it our prayer for them that they might wake up, that they might read passages like John 15 and see that this abiding in Christ is not something to play with. It's not something to just put off and decide later. It's something to take seriously because it's going to deal with your eternal welfare. It's the difference between heaven and hell, abiding in me. Oh, that the Lord might afresh bring home the reality of these eternal truths to our hearts. If you're here today and not abiding in Christ, then come to Christ. Stay close to Christ. If you are backslidden in your heart toward the things of the Lord, then return to the Lord and stay close to Him. Stay close to Him. And if you stay close to Him, you will enjoy Him. You will enjoy Him because He's your Savior. He's your God. He is the one who you adore. He's the one who you worship. He's the one who you live for. And thirdly, we looked at purpose staying close to Christ. Enjoy staying close to Christ. And thirdly, practice staying close to Christ. Abiding in Christ includes much more than spending a few hours of coming to church on Sunday and Wednesday. We must practice staying close to Christ all the time and everywhere we go. We must stay close to Christ in trials. We must stay close to Christ in prosperity. Oh, how deceitful the heart is in when we go through periods of prosperity, when we go through periods of blessing in our hearts, we forget the Lord. We don't stay close to Him. We become careless. We become distant from the Lord. When we go through prosperity, prosperity causes in us apathy. It causes in us a worldliness that drives us away from the Lord. Don't let prosperity drive you away from Christ. Stay close to Christ in prosperity. We must stay close to Christ in private. When we're watching television, when we're surfing the internet, when we're praying in our closet, when we're reading the Bible, we must stay close to Christ. We must practice this. We must stay close to Christ in public, at church. We can come to church and we cannot stay close to Christ in church. We can have such cold hearts when we come to church that we're not even close to Christ. We're just sitting, going through the motions. And Jesus says, abide in me in church. Abide in me when you worship. Abide in me when you come to Sunday and hear God's word. Abide in me. Stay close to me. Don't let your thoughts wander. Don't let your thoughts be distracted. How many times do we have to confess to our shame? We come into the very house of the Lord and we're not close to Christ. We're a million miles away. Maybe you're here today. You're a million miles away from Jesus Christ. You're thinking about tomorrow. You're thinking about this. You're thinking about that. Jesus says, abide in me in church. Abide in me at work. Stay close to me at work. People are afraid of Christians going into the world and working in the midst of ungodly people. And they're scared of what can happen to them and the influence that they have on them. If we're staying close to Jesus Christ at work, we're going to influence them. They're not going to influence us. Are you influencing the people that you work with? Or are they influencing you? Are they cracking jokes and you're laughing at those jokes? Are they entering into conversations and you're responding to that conversation? That's a sign that you're not staying close to Jesus Christ. What about at the store? When we go to the store, are you staying close to Christ? When you go to the store, things you look at, the things that you want to buy, the things that you want to go there. I have to say, you know, I go to a store and I have a certain thing that I want to buy. The next thing I know, I have 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 things I want to buy. And I end up leaving the store with 10 things. You know what? I think to myself, did I really even want to buy that? Did I really even give thought about, should I purchase that? I need Jesus to stay close to me. I need Jesus to stay close to me at the store to help me make the right decisions, to not be self-centered, to not be greedy, to not be covetous, to not be controlled by the lust of the flesh and the eyes of the world and the pride of life. I need Jesus. See, when Jesus said, abide in me, He said, abide in me all the time. Abide in me all the time. We never can take a vacation from abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we abide in Christ and stay close to Him, then what should our lives look like? It will look like a fruit orchard. It will look like a fruit orchard. That's what Jesus says. There will be fruit everywhere in our lives. We read in John 15, verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. He just doesn't say some fruit or little fruit. He says much fruit. Where do you find much fruit? You find much fruit in an orchard. That's the way the Christian is to practice staying close to Christ. Is that when we're practicing staying close to Christ, the response and the product is much fruit. We're going to be a fruit orchard. And people are going to see it. And people are going to be affected by it. That man is staying close to Christ. He's walking with the Lord. He's showing me a Christian that's flourishing, who shines brightly for Christ, and who demonstrates in his life that he's vibrant in his walk with the Lord. There's a vitality about him that shows that he not only believes in Christ, but he knows Christ and walks with Christ and loves to serve the Lord Jesus. He abides in Christ and keeps close communion with Christ. Show me that kind of Christian and I'll show you a Christian who spends time in prayer and time in the Word of God. He discovers and rediscovers constantly that the Word of God is a living Word. He doesn't simply learn lessons from God's Word, but God Himself speaks to him in the learning of those lessons. That's the kind of fruit that Jesus is talking about here. How does it come about? How do we produce much fruit? By practicing staying close to Christ. The closer we stay to Christ, the more fruit we'll bear. We must practice staying close to Christ because we can do nothing without Him. We will bear no fruit in our life without Jesus Christ. Spurgeon writes, nothing. Mark the word. He does not say only a little, but nothing. The union of the branch to the vine by a vital communication is no more essential to its life and fruitfulness than the union of souls to Christ by receiving and trusting in Him as the Savior is to their holiness and happiness. What makes us happy? What makes us holy? Staying close to Christ. We need to be in a church that brings us and keeps us close to Christ. We need to be reading our Bibles so that will keep us close to Christ. We need to attend the means of grace by staying close to Christ, by prayer, by reading. It's a daily ongoing thing. And if we do those things, that's evidence that we're staying close to Christ. The opposite is true. When we're not doing those things, you're far from the Lord. You're in a backslidden condition. Your heart is as cold as ice. You need to get right with the Lord. Is staying close to Christ your steady practice? Is it my steady practice? Do I purpose to stay close to Christ? Do I enjoy staying close to Christ? And do I practice staying close to Christ? Only you know that. Only you know that before the Lord. Oh, that the Lord might help us to abide in Him. In closing, Christ uses the word abide 7 times in John 15, verses 1 and 10. Abide suggests a close and vital connection like a vine is to a branch. Abide is a fitting word to describe the relationship between Jesus Christ and His disciples. Abide in Christ means purpose staying close to Him, enjoy staying close to Him, and practice staying close to Him. May we abide in Christ and stay close to Him. Let us pray.